It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes and our Hall of Fame producer, John Tabor. Boy, do I have some ammunition tonight after Louisiana Tech takes care of business at home against Southern 54-17. The Dogs are 2-0 for the first time since 2012. Beck?
I mean, you want me to say it now or you want me to wait a little bit?
Let's wait a little bit. Let's thank our sponsors.
We got a group of excellent sponsors that keep this show on the radio. We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends over at O'Neill Gas.
As always, you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. It's absolutely toll-free. Bet, today's September 11th. It's been 17 years. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention, you know, something in our childhood that was probably the biggest thing that we've seen, you know, from a world standpoint, from a terrorist attack standpoint.
You remember where you were?
Yeah, fifth grade, Herndon Magnet, walking down the breezeway. Where were you at?
I was homeschooled in Alaska,
really?
And my parents woke me up to bring me in front of the TV.
Absolutely. So nearly 3,000 people were killed that day from 93 different nations. 2,753 people were killed in New York. 184 people were killed at the Pentagon. And 40 people were killed on Flight 93. God bless those people that have, you know, lost loved ones in that attack. Certainly a tough day to remember 17 years ago. Also, our prayers go out for everybody on the East Coast preparing for Hurricane Florence. I know South Louisiana and the New Orleans area, you know, up to Baton Rouge even, remembers Hurricane Katrina. I've seen, you know, multiple games already be canceled across college football. I don't think I'll be surprised to see any more canceled. So prayers go all out to those people as well.
Absolutely. That's going to be seems like they're already declaring state of emergency, and those things are always extremely scary for people in those areas.
It is. So switching back to football, Beck, the Dogs have won 5 in a row, fourth longest win streak in the country. What you think about that?
I'm happy.
Jamar threw for 380 yards, 434 total yards, 3 touchdowns on the night, 24 of 37 throwing the football. I think it's safe to say that you're probably pretty satisfied, and that's what you expected in week one. But might I ask you real quick, you were upset about a win in week one. Are you upset about this win too?
I was not upset about a win in week one. I was upset about how we won and how the lack of dominance in which we won. I'm very happy with the way Jamar played this week.
About time.
But I got to say it, Ben. It was Southern. I think you could have thrown for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Beck, I'd have thrown for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns to get Southern.
Okay, so
unless their band was on the field.
All right, let's go back to your 5-game win streak. Impressive. I'm super thankful.
Let me name you the teams that have a longer win streak in the country.
Go ahead.
Central Florida, 2017 national champs. Ohio State, you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
The Buckeyes. Penn State. The Nittany Lions have won 6 in a row. Ohio State's won 7. And then Duke and Buffalo have also won 5 straight games. And I get it. You're going to say it's only 5 games.
No, I'm not even going to say it's only 5 games.
But
I'm just
going to
say
it's the longest streak in the country.
Let's just talk about who Tech beat. I'm super happy that Tech's won 5 games
UTSA,
it was 3-5 in conference.
Yeah, they were pretty terrible.
We should have beat them, and we did.
Yeah.
UTEP didn't win a game.
Ain't going to win a game this year.
Ain't
going to
win
either.
A game this year. SMU, I mean, Dogs are ready. I'm going to give them that one.
It was fun to beat Sonny Dykes.
Right, absolutely. And then South Alabama this year, which we should have beat. Tech should have beat. They did.
Well,
and then Southern.
What was that score prediction you had for Tech and South Alabama?
It was so wrong, but the bottom line is Tech came away from that game with a win. So don't hear me say I'm not happy with a 5-game win streak. I'm just not surprised that those 5 games Tech won.
Yeah. So Tech won.
Well, you come in here with your stat of we got a 5-game win streak, and so does Ohio State and Central Florida. Let's look at who they played compared to Southern South Alabama and a winless UTEP.
Well, you mean coming here with another stat? Jamar's the 23rd best quarterback in the country right now.
You know how
when the pocket's kept clean.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Jamar is phenomenal when he has 15 seconds to throw the ball.
Hey,
I mean phenomenal.
Yeah, well, Jamar played well. We'll give him some credit. We'll really get into a breakdown in the next segment of Louisiana Tech's 54-17 win. I don't know if you saw it, but Southern's coach, I think his name's Dawson Odoms, he had a pretty bold statement after that win that we're going to get into in the next segment.
I didn't see it. So
and it's got
just,
me,
you got me excited because I don't know
what you're
going to
say. It's got my blood boiling. But when you look at Tech, one of 54 teams in the country that are still undefeated, Tech has a bye week this week, so that number will decrease a little bit more. 4 of the 5.
Does that count in your win streak?
Without a doubt. We'll move to 6 next week before Tech plays LSU. 4 of 5, if I did my math correctly, FBS programs in the state of Louisiana remain undefeated. Tech, LSU, ULM after a big win over Southern Miss, and the Cajuns, University of Louisiana at Lafayette, is undefeated as well. Tulane is the lone FBS program.
I got a great Tulane stat for you later in the show. So just
okay.
You just hang on, BC.
Tulane will travel to UAB this week. When we get into our Conference USA debate at 6:45, I'm not sure it's going to be much of a debate, but I got something for the people. The people love Conference USA. I'm happy Tech got into Conference USA. Personally, when I was in the WAC, when I played baseball at Tech, yeah, I got to take trips out to Hawaii. That was tight, but I also had to go to San Jose State and New Mexico State, and that was not tight. So I'm real happy that Tech's in Conference USA. But it's time for some changes amongst the league.
Right, this was not a good week, and we'll get into it. But this is not a good week for Conference USA at all. You got a compelling argument. I don't know what you're going to come at me with.
Well, I'm coming at you.
And not even just for the sake of disagreeing. I genuinely am on the other side of that.
You are. I am. We'll see what you have
but
to
I
say.
Have, but I don't do as much research as you do, so I'm
the
I'm
average,
apprehensive
the average,
to even go into the conversation.
The average fan admitting that he doesn't do a lot of research. I guess we
the
can
average fan
it.
Works at his job from 8 to 5 and has other.
Oh, I get paid for 7 to 4, and I work 7 to 4, and then I do my research at night. But anyways, Tech had the opportunity to also honor their top 50 players in Joe Ice Stadium history this week.
Very cool.
I know you had the opportunity to catch up with former Bulldog quarterback Colby Cameron. I know y'all had a pretty cool conversation as well.
Yeah. I get to see. It seems like I run into Colby just about every year during Bleed.
That's
Tech
your
Blue
boy.
Radio. That's my boy. Last year was at Rumo's getting our haircut.
Yeah, y'all get shaped up.
Get shaped up at Rumo's. I saw Colby at the game. He was extremely appreciative. That was like the first thing he said, just how neat it was to be recognized by Tech and to be back in the stadium. And he was just standing in the walkway in between the lower and upper deck and was just seemed like standing by himself, just taking it in. So we got to talk. He's glad to be back from Japan. He was leading some league to back-to-back champs over there.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
just dicing them up.
He's happy to be eating some In-N-Out
that's
burger,
right,
I'll
that's
tell
right,
you that.
That's right. So he's over in Dallas at SMU right now. He's
For Sonny Dykes.
Working for Sonny Dykes, QB coach and an analyst. So he said he's really, really enjoying that. He's glad to be back on this side and to be able to work with some of those quarterbacks and some of those younger guys. He's really enjoyed that. And I asked him about Coach Dykes, and he said, oh, it's just been great to be back with him. And but he really, really just enjoyed and was appreciative of the top 50 and getting to come back and see those guys. He said that was something he missed a lot being over in Japan, is he wanted to come back and make it some games. Now coaching for another school.
We're here to beat him,
but he won't be able to make it, obviously, as back as much as we'd like to see him. But it was good to see Colby, and that was Colby's career, along with Quentin Patton and some others, was the highlight of my college experience. So it was good to see those guys, and the recognition of those players this weekend was also neat.
Beck, did you have the opportunity? I think we can both agree that we're not the biggest NFL fans when it comes to an individual team perspective.
Right. You claim the Saints when they win and you don't when they lose. So
yeah, well, thanks for being honest with the audience. But did you have an opportunity to catch any of the, you know, former Bulldogs on Sunday? I know that, you know, these guys might not have affected your fantasy team so much, but quite a few guys had some pretty impressive performance. I know Kenneth Dixon, 44 yards and a touchdown. Unfortunately, he went out with a knee injury late in that game. I didn't know about that until I think I read about it yesterday. I think he's expected to miss some time. I hate that for him because
That's been his career thus far, basically.
Yeah, it has been, and I know Baltimore's running back Alex Collins fumbled early in that game, which allowed for Dixon to get a plethora of carries. Right. You like that use of vocabulary?
Yeah, I do. That was good.
Yeah. Anyway, so Trent Taylor had 4 catches, 28 yards. I know
Jimmy G struggled, so I'm going to say Trent could have had more. We've seen a lot of action from him in preseason practice, keeping up with him on the practice reports. I think he's going to potentially contribute the most out of our offensive Bulldogs.
How about defensive Bulldogs? Kentrell Bryce, 9 tackles, a QB sack, a QB hit as well. Tremont Williams, 6 solo tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers leads a comeback. They call him the GOAT. He ain't Tom Brady, so he's not the GOAT, but Kentrell Bryce, Tremont Williams certainly stood out as well. I watched a little bit of the Oakland game. Saw Jelly Bean Ellis stuff in the middle. So, all
Vernon
in all,
Butler for the Panthers. He got hurt later in the game. I don't know if he ended up coming back, but he was out there.
He's a big old boy. He looks a lot bigger than he was at Tech. I don't know if that's
probably been working out.
Yeah, I don't know if that. Well, he might be working out, but he's added some weight as well. I don't know if that's encouraging or discouraging. But
what
also?
Carlos Henderson.
Carlos Henderson back on the 53-man roster
on the
Broncos. Good to hear for Carlos. Certainly hope that
What did you say before the show about his talent or something?
At the end of the day, talent wins out.
Right. Yeah. So he wasn't on it initially. They signed him on a practice squad, is that right? He didn't report to camp until yesterday or something. I don't know.
Yeah, now he's back on. We have a text on the text line from an unnamed texter. Texted us and said it's kind of weird that some folks think that the same coach who recruited Cody Sokol and Jeff Driscoll to Tech and went with Ryan Higgins in 2016 all of a sudden doesn't know how to develop.
Did you text in?
Quarterback. No, I didn't text in. I know you sure didn't. But do you really think that Skip Holtz can't develop a quarterback? Jamar Smith just played his best game as a Bulldog on Saturday.
Against Southern.
Yeah, 90.8 Pro Football Focus grade. We're going to get into Pro Football Focus a little bit later. Rivals Network has teamed up with Pro Football Focus. Another unnamed texter says Skip has a man crush on Jamar Smith.
That's the same texter.
Yet no mention of Sokol, Driscoll, or Higgins under his watch, too. That sounds like a guy that's talking to you.
Well, that's fine. Sokol, Driscoll, and Higgins, those may be my future dog names. I don't know. Those guys were Tech legends.
Your dog's name is Kevin.
Yeah, now. But my future dogs, I don't know. I'm just saying. I liked those guys. I'm not saying I don't trust Skip. I've said from the very beginning.
You better trust him. No. He's 40-28 in his career at Louisiana Tech. That's pretty darn good.
Yes, I'm not saying. I have never once said Jamar's not our best option.
Beck, I've been around this world for 27 years, and I haven't seen this successful of a 4-going-on-5-year period that I've seen. And I'm here to tell you. Last week we talked about, you know,
7-6 last year. Is that what Tech was?
Yeah.
You were happy with that?
I didn't say I was happy with that, but I'm.
You just said it was the most successful you've ever seen Tech.
In last 4 years.
Yeah, but who was
the 4 year
that wasn't
stretch.
Jamar.
Jamar
was last year when you weren't happy with Jamar.
22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions a year ago. But anyways, you got my blood pressure boiling already. At 6:30, we're going to be joined by Nicholas Lewis of the Forgotten Five. And we're going to talk a little bit of Conference USA football. We're going to talk about one of the most dreadful weeks in Conference USA football history. Does that upset you that I said that?
Yeah,
because
I agree
a fact.
With that. That is a fact.
Conference USA really struggled. Conference USA is really, really bad. But hopefully, Nick can talk me off the ledge because I'm ready to jump in. And
yeah, you're upset.
Might I say Tech would be better off in the Sun Belt?
No.
You don't think so?
No, we'll talk about it.
So Nicholas Lewis will join us at 6:30. We'll talk some Conference USA football. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to get to our first timeout. When we come back from the break, we're going to break down Louisiana Tech's 54-17 win over Southern. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Jeep Adventure Days are here at the all-new Brennan Dodge in Ruston. Take on some new adventures in Jeep, the ultimate in off-road SUVs. And now save big on the entire Jeep lineup. Save $7,000 on the 18 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Save $3,000 on the 18 Jeep Wrangler 4-door. Get a 19 Jeep Cherokee Latitude for only $20,900 and save $9,000 on the 18 Chrysler 300. Don't miss Jeep Adventure Days at the all-new Brennan Dodge, 1301 North Service Road, Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Get all the scores and much more on Sports Talk 97.7 weekdays. Local Sports Talk starts with The Morning Drive with Aaron Dietrich and Jake Martin, 7 to 9 a.m. The Edge with Terry Waldrop follows at 9 a.m. And The Sports Company with Sean Fox, 3 to 6 p.m. Saturdays, it's The Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Then get the scores from Friday night with Mark Kramer and Terry Waldrop starting at 10. Your local sports and Fox Sports Radio Network is on Sports Talk 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Oh, baby. That text line is fired up. We got a text from Morgan. Come on back to the Sun Belt. We'd certainly love to play you guys every year. Come on back. I take it that Morgan's a Warhawk fan.
Morgan, I appreciate the invite. I just don't know if Tech, this 30-mile stretch of I-20 would explode.
Then we got another text from Brett. Being completely honest, at least Tech, if Tech was in the Sun Belt, I can't read tonight, we'd win the conference. I'd take the top-tier teams of Conference USA over their equals in the Sun Belt. Brett, you got a very good point. That's something I'm going to hit on at 6:45. But Beck, shifting gears.
Shift them, Ben.
Louisiana Tech 54-17. I'd say about the only thing that went right for Southern after a couple of drives was that band.
Ugh.
What do you think?
They were good. Also, they probably loved when it was a special teams situation. Could we talk about our special teams all night long?
Yeah. But me and you just sat on that sidelines, and I can't remember if it was two or three times, but after two or three throws that Jamar threw, you were like, I could see a Heisman Trophy in his future.
Gosh.
But anyways, looking at Tech from a statistical standpoint, Jamar Smith, 24 of 37, 380 yards. Aaron Allen, 96.8 QBR rating for Jamar Smith in the win. Aaron Allen, 3 of 5, 47 yards, one touchdown for the true freshman quarterback. Jaquise Dancy, how about his day? 5 carries, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns. I guess I could say it. Tabor nailed it.
He only had 5 carries for 67 yards?
Yeah, had 7 touches total for 76. Tabor said before the first game he's going to be an all-conference performer. Last week I said he might be headed for the NFL.
Well, we were standing in the...
Is there anything greater than the NFL? Because I'm ready to use it.
We were standing up against the Dak in the end zone, and we had
get
a perfect...
Get that man a gold jacket.
Let's get him a gold jacket.
Already,
yeah.
Already. Well, we got to see the hole open up on the offensive line, and Dancy put a little shimmy on a guy, and he just buckled, and Dancy took off. So that
we'll see you later.
If we can, as we've been saying, if we can keep that guy healthy, he's going to be an extremely valuable asset to this team.
Justin Henderson introduces himself to Division I college football. 9 carries, 55 yards. Another Jamar Smith reference, 5 carries, 54 yards, 1 touchdown, as Beck quenches his stress ball here in the studio.
I'm fine with that. I'm happy. I'm glad to see Jamar run. We've been saying that for 2 years.
Israel Tucker, 6 carries, 16 yards, and a touchdown. Tucker had the lone fumble for Tech on the night, ends up in a Southern turnover. You know, we'll get to that in a sec. I think that was a big momentum switch in the game. Looking at the receivers, Adrian Hardy, 6 catches, 111 yards. How about that catch he had down the seam where he laid out?
That was something.
Looked like DeAndre Hopkins out there. Rashid Bonnet, 7 catches, 103 yards, 1 touchdown. Teddy Veal, 4 catches, 73 yards. How about Smoke Harris? 2 catches, 64 yards, and he puts 12 points on the board.
Big night for Smoke. I was happy to see that guy hit a couple of rough punt returns initially, but
kickoff returns.
That's what I meant. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All in all, Tech quarterbacks hit 10 different receivers. Looking at the defensive play, Lajarius Sneed leads Tech with 8 tackles, a half sack. Emmanuel Turner, Willie Baker, Matthew Yadarga, Jalen Ferguson, and Charles Adeola also added a sack on the evening for the Bulldog defense that had 5 sacks in total. I think they had 9 tackles in loss. For loss, limits Southern to 286 total yards, only 17 points. Beck, really, your overall thoughts on this game?
I thought it was exactly what Tech needed to do. I thought they played exactly how you and I wanted them to play. Jamar had a great game. I'll be the very first to say that.
About time.
This is a win situation for me as a Tech fan. I don't want Jamar to play poorly. But you said it immediately. You said on the sideline and all this week in our pre-show prep.
Yeah,
you said,
production
meeting. You're just going to tell me that it was Southern. It was Southern. It was Southern. Well, you know what, Ben? It was Southern.
You're right.
And do you remember Dalton Sturm? Do you remember who that is?
Yeah, former quarterback at UTSA.
You know what he did against Southern last year?
Oh, let me hear it.
300 yards, 4 TDs. Again. And they went 3-5 in conference. No, yeah, 3-5 in conference. Like, he wasn't no Jamar by your standards.
No, he's not Jamar.
I'm just saying.
Dalton Sturm was terrible.
I'm saying Jamar needed to do what he did this week, or we would have been a lot more nervous. I'm happy.
Hey, how about you let our listeners know what our bet is over the next 2 years?
I don't remember what the wager is, but you said Jamar is going to be all conference 2 years in a row.
No.
Barring injury.
One of the next 2 years.
Oh, here we go. I got a screenshot somewhere.
Okay, that's fine. The next 2 years.
What's the wager? Do you remember?
Yeah. You got to take me to Portico.
I don't think that's the wager.
Shout out to Portico. There's some free advertising. Anyways, I think they are an advertiser for the sports company, but we love Portico. Anyways, my thoughts on the Tech win.
Ben, what are your thoughts on the Tech win?
613 yards of total offense is just what the doctor ordered. You put up 460 yards, but you turn it over 3 times in week 1. Everybody's attacking your quarterback, acting like he hasn't improved at all. He comes back in a big way, bounces back, 434 yards, 3 touchdowns, hits 10 different receivers. He showed some elusiveness that I've been talking about, I don't know, since the beginning of fall camp. It proves that I'm right once again. And all in all, did you have any concerns about the defense? Because you look at the middle part of that game, it was 21-0 before I had time to even put my sunglasses on down there in the south end zone. I posted on the Bleed Tech Blue message board, by the way, a free pub for BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month, well worth your money. I'm not sure what a free pub is, but that's some free publicity. And I said, this game's over. Well, in a hurry, it turned 21-14, and I'll be honest, I was a little bit concerned.
Right, and I asked you that question last week. Did the defense concern you at South Alabama?
7 of 13 on third down for Southern does concern me a little bit.
Yeah, that's over 50%. That's not good.
Yeah, that number's going to have to get a lot better. But the one thing I think about, I think Blake Baker, the first 2 weeks, South Alabama, Southern, Tech beat South Alabama by 4. They beat Southern by 37. How about the late cover as well on the touchdown pass to Smoke Harris from Aaron Allen? I love late covers like that. That's a bad beat on Scott Van Pelt's show. But anyways, I don't think they've shown a whole lot on defense. I can't remember 6 times that they've blitzed in the first 2 games.
I just feel like Tech plays super solid defense, which, I mean, you can't expect. I mean, obviously you'd want them to play solid defense 100% of the time, but it's like solid defense, and then Tech will give up a play that should not have been given up. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even say, like, they made a great play. Like, Southern made a great play. It's just like we missed some tackles.
Yeah,
and then,
there were some miss. There were some lapses in
lapses,
the
lapses, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Unnamed text on the text line. If you want to put your name on a text, that'd be nice. I played on an intramural squad that could put 600 yards of total offense against Southern. That's a lot.
I think I recognize that number.
Yeah, but anyways, that's not true. But anyways, you look at what this win means for Tech going forward. When we came in here last week, we certainly looked at each other, beat red in the face. My blood pressure was fuming because of the irrational takes that you had. But I'm feeling a lot better 11 days out from Louisiana Tech traveling to Baton Rouge to take on LSU.
No question. If the Southern game would not have gone the way it did, Jamar's been shaking in his boots.
Well, now I think, you know, early on in that game, it was pretty clear. The first drive, I think Jamar goes 5 for 5, 76 yards. Tech goes 7 plays, 78 yards for a touchdown. And I thought that was really, probably for me, that was the biggest moment in that game. You hate to say that the biggest moment in the game takes a minute 19, but that was so big for Jamar's confidence. It was so big in him, you know, really believing in himself. And we had a caller on the postgame show with Kramer and I, and his name, Rafe, you know, one of our loyal members of BleedTechBlue.com, and he said that he saw that confidence in Jamar on the sideline and the interactions with his teammates. And I know you love interactions.
Some teammate interactions.
Oh, man, you love the intangibles. Sometimes it makes me nauseous. But anyways, I thought that was the biggest part in the game.
It's easy to be happy when things are going well. So my question for you is, we touched on earlier about how Jamar had 15 seconds to throw the
ball.
Easy
to be happy when things are going well, but Tech won last week and you were upset. Anyways,
I was not upset.
Continue.
I forgot what I was saying.
Okay.
No, I got it. If we talked about him having tons of time to throw the ball, was it the offensive line? What was it about their offense that you felt like was the one thing besides Jamar just being like, you can't say he just started throwing the ball more accurate?
Well, I thought early on in the game, I actually thought that Jamar had a lot of pressure in his face. You remember the first play of the game, he just gets lit.
Right in front of us.
Yeah, and he gets hit pretty hard. But, you know, as the game went on, I thought the offensive line got better from a pass blocking standpoint. I know his touchdown pass to Smoke, you like to say he had 15 seconds to throw.
Like,
I think he did on that play. So I think all in all, I think the pass blocking was really encouraging. And, you know, the more you pass block for a quarterback, it's pretty obvious they're going to be better.
Right. But also like, the, you know, I don't.
Blaine Gabbert can throw with a clean pocket.
I haven't paid attention enough to know, like, to even complain about previous play call, but it just seemed like with the run opening up the way it did, that really allowed it open up the playbook a little bit because we were beating them on run and pass.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you talk about the playbook going down to LSU. I think it's pretty obvious. And I said this on Sean's show before we got going. Here's what Tech's going to do against LSU. Whether you believe in it or not, they're going to empty the backfield out. They're going to go 5 receivers. They're going to hopefully get Teddy Veal, Rashid Bonnet, Adrian Hardy, Jaquice Dancy in the slot, maybe some Smoke Harris. Try to get those guys into some man-on-man situations. And it's the job of the receivers to win. And I don't have a problem with that. I think when you look at Tech's 3 best receivers, Hardy, Veal, and Bonnet, they have the talent to win in man coverage. And we'll see if they can do it. We'll see if Tech can hold up against a dominant LSU defensive line. But going down to Baton Rouge, I'd spread them out and see what we got.
I'm excited to see Tech's defense go against LSU. We know that LSU is going to keep it on the ground because Burrow's can't throw over 150 to save his life.
Yeah, 47% completion percentage for Burrow.
And you were so high on Burrow after that first game.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, quit referencing yourself in the third person or the second person. Anyways, that's it. Louisiana Tech beats Southern 54-17. Jamar Smith, Louisiana sports writer, co-offensive player of the week. He's rolling. The dogs are rolling. We're going to take our next time out. When we come back from the break, we'll talk to Nick Lewis from the Forgotten Five. We'll take a look at Conference USA. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Hey, DQ fans, with the new flavors every month, the iconic Blizzard treat is hard to top. That's why Dairy Queen is bringing you the combo of the century, the new $4 Burger and Blizzard deal. Enjoy a world-famous mini Blizzard treat plus an entree like the new KC Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, all for just, wait for it, $4. Holy cheeseburgers, it's sweet meat savory in the all-new $4 Burger and Blizzard deal, only at your DQ and participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
Fall is coming, so you should be coming to Fairway Carts in Minden. Why? Well, Fairway Carts is the official headquarters for fall fun. That's because Fairway Carts has the easy go to make great fall weather even more enjoyable. From a multi-passenger cart for spending quality time with the family cruising the neighborhood, to a new easy go for getting around at tailgate parties or just getting off the beaten path, Fairway has a huge inventory of Easy Goes with the new 2019 models coming in and amazing deals on remaining 2018s. And hunters, listen closely. The all-new, all-electric Easy Go Express 4x4 is coming to Fairway Carts. It's the ultra-quiet, ultra-durable hunting vehicle you've waited years for. Fall is nice. Make it even better with a new Easy Go. Come to Fairway Carts in Minden today and try one on for size. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes and our great producer, John Tabor. Louisiana Tech defeats Southern 54-17. But, Beck, overall, it was a tough weekend in Conference USA. That's why we have our man Nicholas Lewis joining us on the Fairway Carts hotline. Nick, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
We're doing pretty good. Nick, when you look at things across Conference USA, I think the conference was 1-6 in out-of-conference play this weekend. Not the best week. It has us questioning whether Conference USA is the worst conference in FBS. What are some of your thoughts on the league as a whole? Some of the teams that, you know, are really upper echelon might compete for a conference championship this season.
So the first thing that comes to mind as a one-sentence description of how this weekend went for Conference USA would be to simply say that I don't think if you and I were talking on Friday, you would have looked at me with anything other than concern if I said something like, hey, I think Rice might have the best loss in conference this coming weekend.
You're right.
But it was a strange weekend. UAB struggled with a team they shouldn't have. UTEP struggled with a team they shouldn't have. So the two things that stuck out the most to me would probably be that, number one, I think that I was right in my preseason prediction, which was that I thought that out of the three teams that really struggled and held the bottom down last season between Rice and UTEP and Charlotte, I thought that Rice had the most returning talent and made the best hire of coach and therefore would recover the quickest. I think they still have ways to go, but I do think that's true. But on the flip side of that, I think that after what I saw this past weekend, the downside is that the conference is probably weaker than usual, relative statement this year, but that also right this minute, it looks like there's a realistic chance that North Texas could possibly go undefeated. So that gives them a great shot at getting to 13-0 and getting ignored by the committee.
And when you look at the conference as a whole, you enter the season, you talk about Florida Atlantic going on the road to Oklahoma. I know everybody was fascinated by the matchup of the two coaches, Lane Kiffin and Lincoln Riley. FAU really, they didn't play their best football. They were still trying to figure out who their quarterback was going to be. But you mentioned North Texas having the opportunity to go 13-0 potentially. Is it realistic to believe that Conference USA, from a strength of schedule standpoint, looking at Florida Atlantic and North Texas, could push for that access bowl from the G5?
It's going to take some slip-ups. I think we've figured out at this point that getting that access bowl involved both winning during the season and having a winning reputation. So Boise and UCF are the kind of the leaders in the clubhouse right now, not only because they're undefeated, but because they have that reputation coming into this season already. Same thing with FAU. So I don't think, regardless of who it is, even if it's North Texas, I don't think that a Conference USA team, much like a Sun Belt team, is going to be able to get to that New Year's Six Bowl unless they go undefeated and teams like Boise and UCF, whoever it is out of the Mountain West or the American, slips up somewhere. And it might even take more than one slip-up. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like UCF or Boise that did lose a game, but that one loss came either in the conference championship game or against one of the other top teams like South Florida or Memphis or Fresno State, that they would still get picked over North Texas because of how weak the conference is viewed, especially the bottom third or bottom half of the conference. So it's almost similar to the heyday of the Rakeem Cato Marshall football team where, they're going to get the old, well, yes, you went undefeated, but you didn't play anybody. I'll bet that North Texas is going to be in kind of a similar boat because they're probably having a season where their marquee win is going to be Arkansas, which doesn't look nearly as good as it did before they lost to what might be a bad Colorado State team. So it's a bit of a reach at this point. It's not impossible because, North Texas going undefeated, long shot but not impossible. Boise and UCF slipping up, probably not quite as much of a long shot, but also not impossible. So it's going to take a lot to get there, but it's nice to at least have that to aspire to. And I think that's something that North Texas can at least still try and shoot for, regardless of exactly how realistic we think it is.
And I know you mentioned Colorado State a little bit, and one more G5 team I want to talk about before we get it back into Conference USA, but what Nick Rolovich is doing at Hawaii is just stunning to me. I know that it seemed like it was going to take him 3, 4, maybe 5 years to rebuild that program, but in year two, it looks like Hawaii is back.
Well, so here's the thing with Nick Rolovich. This is his third year actually. He's always been a run and shoot disciple. He was a June Jones quarterback, and he was one of the gunslingers they had there. And so, it had always been his plan, given the right tools and the right everything and the right setup, to return to that run and shoot. But he was of the opinion that when he had Diosmi Sanjusta as his running back, the little powerhouse, well, I would like to do it, but I've got a good enough running back that I should just keep feeding him the ball. And what he didn't realize was that second year in, everyone kind of figured it out, and the season got torpedoed, and just the wheels fell off late in the season. And so finally this offseason, he said, you know what, screw it. If they're going to get rid of me or we're going to be bad, let's at least be entertainingly bad. And he stumbled into both an offense and a quarterback who have really just turn things around. Now, I don't know if Hawaii is going to do something crazy like win the conference by being a team that's going to just disappear every third quarter on offense and kind of hope and pray to win a bunch of shootouts, but that's certainly a situation that's got them, you know, halfway to a bowl game 3 weeks into the season. And really, that's all you can ask for at Hawaii. You're not going to be a title contender, but, you know, a sort of a, you know, lucking into a winning record for sure and possibly flirting with at least an appearance in the conference championship game. That's a really exciting opportunity for Hawaii. So, you know, he kind of threw caution to the wind, and it paid off big time, and they're now a team that's really fun to watch, which also pays off, you know, if you're willing to stay up that late at night.
And shifting things back to Conference USA, when you look at the Week 3 schedule, Tulane travels to UAB, Southern Miss travels to Appalachian State, UTSA travels to Kansas State, North Texas travels to Arkansas, Western Kentucky travels to Louisville, Florida International hosts UMass, Marshall travels to South Carolina. How important of a week is it for Conference USA? I'm not going to say win all of these games, but at least put up some strong competitive performances.
Yeah, and tricky, you know, especially like you got all these early season games where you get one game where, you know, you kind of beat up on an FCS program, and one game where you get beaten up on by sort of a bigger Power Five program, and you know, neither of those games really tells you anything meaningful about the team that you're talking about, because that FCS team is appreciably worse than pretty much every other team you're going to play, and that Power Five team is most of the time appreciably better. You know, most of the teams you're playing are in between, so you know, you don't necessarily want to literally take the average of those two performances and say this is the team we've got, but that's kind of the expectation you have to carry into sort of the rest of the meaningful games of the schedule. You know, in La Tech's case, it's a little bit different because they actually opened against a I don't want to call them a comparable G5 team, I guess geographically comparable in that sense. But they got to experience I guess we'll call him Riverboat Steve Campbell for now at South Alabama. But the one of the ones that I'm sort of most keeping an eye on is Southern Miss, because I was at the Southern Miss ULM game last weekend, and I can decisively say that final score that you saw was very indicative of the game. ULM was literally about 1 point better of a team than Southern Miss, and then this was a team that, you know, I personally was not riding this quarterback controversy hype train whenever Keon Howard transferred to Tulane and whenever Quadrigues got suspended. I knew that Jack Abraham was the guy that the Jayhawks liked the most, and it actually gave him the opportunity to start the quarterback they wanted to start, but they got pushed around easily by a ULM defense that is not known for their pass rush and is most certainly not the best pass rush they're going to face all season. So that's maybe going to temper expectations a little bit, but we've got a lot of road matchups this week, and so we've got probably a weird mix here. You've got several teams that are going to probably go and sort of take their lumps against those P5 programs. So mostly just a, you know, don't get embarrassed too bad and come home and get ready for the rest of the season. The one I'm focusing on most is probably that North Texas game at Arkansas, just because Arkansas does look a little more vulnerable after that performance against Colorado State. But also, I'm curious to see whether or not UAB can rebound against Tulane, because this is the second year in a row that they struggled a lot more against a team like Coastal Carolina than we really expected them to. So it'll be that, I think, how this performance rebounds will tell us a lot about sort of whether or not we still got an accurate feel for the trajectory of their season. And then I guess I'm also, weirdly enough, going to pay keeping a loose eye on that Old Dominion Charlotte game, because that'll be an early conference game, and also I guess give us a good idea of whether Old Dominion is really sort of fallen off as much as we think, and what's the real deal in Charlotte. But so I guess that'll be the key for my inner masochist, and then also to see how bad things are going to be for Western Kentucky after losing to a Maine team they had no business losing to.
Well, Nick, some real good stuff tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How can our listeners follow you online?
So they can come find us at Forgotten 5, www.forgotten5.com. That's Forgotten and the number 5, or on Twitter at RememberF5.
Good stuff tonight, Nick. We'll talk to you in the future.
All right, appreciate it.
Nick Lewis, Forgotten 5. Back goes. some tantalizing stuff.
Just that, feeds right into what you want to talk about. I mean, just
baby,
set you up on
wait.
A silver platter.
Yeah, put me on a silver platter. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'm going to tell you why Conference USA is the worst FBS conference in the country. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Ram Power Days are here at Brennan Dodge, and the fastest-growing truck brand in America is offering incredible savings. Get an 18 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorn and save $13,000 off MSRP. Get an 18 Ram 1500 Quad Cab for only $22,900. Save $8,000 on the all-new Ram 1500 Crew Longhorn or Limited, and save $9,000 on the all-new Ram 1500 Crew Laramie. Don't miss Ram Power Days at the all-new Brennan Dodge, 1301 North Service Road, Ruston.
First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech 2-0 in 2018, the first 2-0 start since 2012. Things are certainly looking bright for the Bulldogs, but I can't say the same for Conference USA. Beck, I got a couple of things to tell you. And we've been talking about this for a few days now. You know, we text on the reg, and I tell you, you know, you better prepare for this show. And I don't think you can prepare for what I'm about to throw at
either.
You. But I was scrolling through the Twitter in recent days, and I come across Underdog Dynasty, well-respected website, really a blog. And they rank the top G5 programs each week. And here's their top 10, all right?
Go for it.
Boise State, number one, out of the Mountain West. I don't think you'll have any argument out
no,
of
I'm
us.
No, I'm fine with that.
Historically, great program.
Yep.
Central Florida, number two. I'm not going to argue that. They're touting their quarterback for the Heisman. Hawaii, number three. Keep
That's
in mind,
stretch.
Hawaii was brutal last year and the year before. But they picked
brutally
up.
Good or bad?
Horrible. Houston, number four. I can't say I agree with that. Houston struggled with Rice, but Houston went on the road and blasted Arizona this week. South Florida out of the AAC, Charlie Strong. He couldn't win at Texas, but boy, he can win at South Florida. Cincinnati, Luke Fickle's doing a nice job. They're number six. Number seven, North Texas.
Ooh.
For me, that's a joke. I'll get to that in a minute. Fresno State, number eight. Toledo, number nine. You might have heard of Kareem Hunt. Number 10, San Diego State. Others receiving votes in this official Underdog Dynasty poll. Arkansas State, Buffalo, Florida Atlantic, Utah State, Eastern Michigan, who went on the road and beat Purdue this week, out of the MAC, Ball State, and Troy. So I just named to you 17 G5 programs, and we got two mentions of Conference USA.
Right.
Two.
Florida
Atlantic, North Texas. Tech plays both of them. Travel to Denton to take on North Texas in 3 weeks, September 29th. Be there, be square. BC will be there.
You going to be there for real?
Yeah. Looking elsewhere. We talk about the rough week in Conference USA. Appalachian State goes on the road to Charlotte. I get it. Brad Lambert needs to lose his job. Charlotte I think they won a game last year. I think they've won one this year, but they ain't going to win many more. They beat Charlotte at home 45-6. I don't care how good Appalachian State is. There should never be that large of a discrepancy at the G5 level. Remember Bill Clark? Remember how many times you came in here last year and was like, man, that UAB program is really surprising.
Right. I said that.
Yeah, they've won 8 games. They're going to a bowl game. I'll give Bill Clark some credit. He did a good job, and he's loyal. You know, he's loyal. That's what we want to speak about, Bill Clark. Well, he lost by 23 to Coastal Carolina. Tell me what you know about Coastal Carolina's coach.
Need more dogs. But, actually, correction, he needs a dog because they're terrible.
Yeah, well, they're
they
good enough to
need somebody that can play football.
And we just had Nicholas Lewis on from the Forgotten Five, and he said he was at the ULM Southern Miss game. And I get it. Matt Viator is doing a phenomenal job for ULM, a program that's only been to one bowl game in their school's history.
Right.
It looks like they're headed to another one this year. But he said that Southern Miss got pushed around for 4 quarters. I picked Southern Miss to win the West. I'll admit it. I was an idiot.
Yeah, I'm not mad about, like, I'm not the, I mean, I'm not even going to say it, but
you
don't
get pushed around for 4 quarters if you're a contender in conference.
No question about it. But I'm not mad that ULM beat Southern Miss because I have they're like my.
Me neither. I love when the Golden Eagles lose.
Me too.
And might I throw in another jab? I love when Jack Abraham loses.
Yeah, you're sensitive about Jack Abraham right
Anyways,
now.
Let me continue. In week 0, Rice escapes Prairie View.
Barely.
31-28. Acted like they won the national championship. North Texas beats SMU. I'd say SMU might be, what, one of the worst 10 programs in the country? Big deal. Florida Atlantic. We love Lane Kiffin. We love all the crud that he puts on Twitter.
There you go.
Game was 56-0 at halftime. You were upset that Tech only beat South Alabama by 4. Well, I got some news for you. Marshall barely beat Miami of Ohio. Northern Arizona beats UTEP by what you like to say, 3 tutties. Southern Miss blasts Jackson State. I said it last week. They ain't won a game in 4 years. UTSA goes on the road to Arizona State. National publications are saying Herm Edwards can't coach college football. Well, neither can Frank Wilson because they lost 49-7. Oof. Old Dominion loses to Liberty. I ain't talking about the Statue of Liberty. I'm talking about the university, 52-10.
That's bad.
That's brutal. Week 2, last week, Charlotte gets treated like Beck does in fantasy.
Oh, my God. Hey, who won this week, by the way?
You did.
Who had the highest scoring team this week?
You.
Who lost?
Me. The savior, Jack Abraham, the savior, turns it over 4 times in a loss to ULM. UAB, like I mentioned, loses to Coastal Carolina. They need more dogs. Western Kentucky loses at home to Maine. The Black Bears. You want to know what they're looking for in Maine right now? Some pretty fall leaves. They ain't exactly focused on the football program. UTEP goes to Las Vegas, loses to UNLV. That team would rather gamble than play football. UTSA doesn't even compete against the second worst team in the Big 12, Baylor. And Middle Tennessee State gives up 37 points to Tennessee Martin.
I've never even heard of them.
Incredible. Okay, well, let's look ahead to week 3. Things have to get brighter. Well, UTEP travels to Tennessee. Tulane travels to UAB. That's a pivotal game for the conference. Southern Miss travels to App State, where they're a 16-point underdog. Appalachian State beat Michigan in 2007. UTSA travels to Kansas State. That's a big game. We'll see if Frank Wilson can coach. North Texas goes to Arkansas. Well, if they want to pull
North Texas is going to win that game.
Well, if they want to pull some publicity for the conference, they better.
Are you rooting for North Texas?
No. Not a chance. Pull them for the Hogs.
You don't want them to beat?
Never want the Mean Green to win. Old Dominion travels to Charlotte. There'll be 8 people watching that game. FAU's playing flag football against Bethune-Cookman. Middle Tennessee is getting $1.6 million to get beat at the hands of Georgia and Kirby Smart. Marshall travels to South Carolina. Now, that's a tricky game. Everybody thought South Carolina could compete with the Bulldogs from Georgia, and they couldn't. I think Marshall can go in there, and they should give the Gamecocks a game.
Yeah, they could sneak one out of there for sure.
Yeah. Western Kentucky travels to Louisville. Well, it's we'll about to be 0-3 for Mike Sanford. I don't know how much longer Mike Sanford has left in Bowling Green. His agent might have signed a 6-year deal where he's guaranteed a bunch of money, but his time's running thin.
What happened to Western Kentucky?
He can't coach. That's what happened. UMass travels to Florida International. Do you remember when Tech traveled to Gillette Stadium to play UMass?
Yep.
Carlos Henderson ran circles around those boys, and Florida International better do the same. But from what it looks like to me, it's going to be another rough week. Tech's got a bye, so they're getting that 6th straight win. But, Beck, you might wonder why I mention all this nonsense to me, to you. You probably don't care. You're the average fan. But I'm here to tell you, Conference USA is the worst conference in the country. Conference USA is not as good as the Sun Belt. Conference USA is not as good as the MAC. I did it. I didn't make you say it. I said it. The facts are the facts. This isn't your mama and your daddy's Conference USA. This is like your grandkids' Conference USA that nobody pays attention to anymore. And I love that Louisiana Tech's in Conference USA. I love that Louisiana Tech's winning. And the top 3 or 4 programs in Conference USA, when you look at Tech, you look at North Texas, FAU, Marshall, I'm not throwing Southern Miss in there, and I'm not throwing UAB in there. More should be expected from the bottom 10 teams in this league. UTEP's terrible. Rice is terrible. Charlotte doesn't deserve to play on Saturdays. Conference USA has a long way to go. Tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. There's just a huge discrepancy from the top of the conference to the bottom. Like
and that's not acceptable. There's way more competition in the
right.
Sun Belt from
right.
top to bottom. Okay, exclude Texas State. So what? They've never been good.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate here.
All right.
I'm just going to go off of last year. I'm not even going to talk about this year. Is that okay?
Let's hear it.
Bother you? Okay. Last year, Sun Belt has 12 teams, right, Ben?
Yeah.
5 of those 12 finished above 500.
Okay.
5 of those 12 finished with 4 wins or less.
Okay, that's 10.
You've got 10. You got 12 teams.
Yep.
Conference USA had 4 teams that finished under 500.
Okay. Two of them had 1 win.
Right. That's bad.
Okay. Terrible. More
so out of
more,
14
should, more
teams,
should be expected out of Rice, UTEP, and Charlotte.
Conference
They're
USA,
abysmal.
Conference USA has 2 more teams than Sun Belt and had 1 less team finish under 500. Now, what does that mean? You know where I'm going with this?
No, I don't.
There's no cake tune-up games for the Sun Belt to play. You know why?
Why?
Because they are the cake tune-up games.
Bay, I disagree. They're not the cake.
They're the cake.
Look what Appalachian State
The bottom of Sun Belt is bad. The bottom of Conference USA is atrocious.
The bottom of Conference USA, listen, I'm not ever for.
We don't disagree that much right here. I mean, we don't.
No, let me tell you something.
I don't think as a whole the Sun Belt or the MAC.
Oh, don't get me started on the MAC. They're far better than Conference USA.
I'm just concerned that that Conference USA is even in the conversation about being the worst.
Listen, let me tell you something. That's you have a good point. It's ridiculous that Conference USA is okay with UTEP being the worst team in the league. UTSA couldn't compete against some high schools in Texas.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You know how we like to use the old, well, Alabama could beat the Browns.
Yeah.
Well, Allen High School could beat UTEP, and I can promise you. And guess what? They could beat Rice, too, while they're at it, probably on the same night. But you look at the riverboat gambler, like Nick Lewis said, at South Alabama, Steve Campbell. He's got his – they're going to be good. Billy Napier's doing a phenomenal job at Lafayette. Viator's doing a good job at ULM. Troy beat LSU a year ago. Arkansas State gets their coach plucked from by a P5 school nearly every dang year. Georgia State plays in the Braves Stadium. That's sick. And here we are looking forward to Old Dominion in Charlotte this week. Want to know who the real loser is? Like one of our listeners said online, the real loser is the fans.
Yeah, that's bad.
So
I meant to look up attendance. I'll have that for next week.
Yeah. Conference USA is terrible. Conference USA is the worst conference in FBS. I might have a different opinion next week, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. If you got a problem with it, call us on the hotline, 888-993-7762. I'd love to hear why Conference USA is better than I'm making it out to be. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a new deal that the Rivals Network has made with Pro Football Focus, and you don't want to miss it. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We are responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Now that I got all that steam off that I've been steaming about for the last 72 hours, I feel a lot better. I feel a lot more relaxed. Text on the Fairway Carts text line from Santoria. Will there be a game in Charlotte considering the hurricane is coming? Well, you want a lighthearted answer? The players probably don't want to play. But in all seriousness, I haven't seen a determination made on that game. I would imagine
The hurricane's gonna hit like right there.
Yeah, I would imagine they'll either try to move that game, but it is a conference game, so it's probably a game that needs to be made up. But you look at the other side of things, those two teams won't be competing for a conference championship, so who knows, it might be canceled. Another text from an unnamed texter. Can't disagree with Conference USA being the worst conference right now. Other than North Texas, Marshall, Florida Atlantic, and Tech, the conference is filled with teams who are either mediocre, bad, or somewhere in the seventh circle of hell.
I don't disagree with that.
I don't think you can put it a whole lot better than that if I said so myself.
Well, you did.
Yep, I did. Conference USA is terrible, But, Beck.
Ben, let's talk about what happened this week. I get a text from you, just frantic as all get out.
Frantic.
I mean, you
was jacked up.
You were freaking out, okay?
Beck, listen. I've became a Christian. I've gotten married. I've had a daughter. And I was born.
Oh, in that order.
Well, those are four of the top days of my life. Number five, the Cubs won a World Series. This announcement that we had this past week was number six.
So, I'm going to back up a little bit. Twice this week, which is good news for Bleed Tech Blue, twice this week I've had people ask me, the face of Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Wait, you're the face?
I'm the face. You're the voice. I'm the face. They've asked me, what is...
You got a face for radio.
What's Bleed Tech Blue? Why do I need it? And we had a good answer before. We got an even better answer now.
Let me tell you a little bit about it. So, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, or not Bleed Tech Blue, the Rivals Network partnered with Pro Football Focus.
Rivals is the site that you run Bleed Tech Blue through.
Yes, yes. Owned by Yahoo. Rivals partnered with Pro Football Focus, and to be honest with you, them putting this partnership together was an absolute game changer, if you ask me. Just an absolute game changer. Well, you might ask, what does Pro Football Focus do? Well, let me tell you. Pro Football Focus evaluates every single game that is played in college football and in professional football.
We're talking about even Charlotte and UTEP.
Yeah, and Old Dominion and Rice. They've evaluated it all. They evaluate every single player on every single snap. They give them a grade on how they performed. They don't look at the result of the play. They look at the individual player. So you could have 10 players executing, but if your quarterback throws an interception or makes a bad read or doesn't, you know, hit the receiver into a big window, yes, that ultimately hurts the team.
But your offensive lineman could have blocked like a beast.
Yes, and he is going to receive a good grade for this. But the quarterback will receive a bad grade. So when you look at what Pro Football Focus does, on every play, a Pro Football Focus analyst will grade each player on a scale of -2 to +2 according to what he did on the play. At the end of the scale, you have a catastrophic game-ending interception or pick six from a quarterback. At the other, a perfect deep bomb into a tight window in a critical situation, with the middle of the scale being zero graded or expected plays that are neither positive nor negative. Kind of like, well, I expected him to get 6 yards on the hold that he was given in terms of a running back.
Right, or that was a screen pass and he completed the pass. And
yeah, and so each game is also graded by a second Pro Football Focus analyst, independent of the first, and those grades are compared by a third who is referenced as a senior analyst who rules on the differences between the two. These grades are then verified by a Pro Coach Network, a group of former and current NFL coaches with over 700 combined years of NFL coaching experience to get them as accurate as can be.
That's incredible.
Incredible. So finally, these guys are graded on a 0 to 100 scale. Now, these seasonal level grades aren't simply just an average of every grade. Like, you have to take into account the difficulty of each play, the situation in the game, if it's 52-17 or is it 24-20 going in for a game-winning drive. All of that stuff matters. It is entirely possible that a player will have a season grade that's higher than any individual, you know, game that he graded out during the season.
Right, so you might have an offensive lineman that got a 87 on run block and an 88 on pass block but got a 91 for the game.
Exactly, exactly. So it's all graded out. So when I found out about this information, I was just ecstatic. I know the P5 publishers across the Rival Network have been begging for this, and we're extremely blessed at BleedTechBlue.com. Coach Skip Holtz gives us some incredible access. There's never really any closed practices.
Which I didn't realize was we were talking about another school down south. I won't mention them. But that closed practices, it's really tough.
You can see 25 minutes of practice, which essentially results in you can watch the player stretch, and you can watch some cornerbacks and safeties do some back pedals, and then you're kicked out.
Right. So Tech's incredibly fortunate to have the access that they have
yes.
with coaches and just practice in general.
Yeah, and
so that's big time.
Exactly, and so it's huge. And so we're granted that we're able to bring our subscribers some in-depth access that are really found nowhere else in the country.
And you were,
and
just,
that's honest,
right? That's seriously honest. Now you were just genuinely more excited, not only to be able to prove your opinions that sometimes people on the board extremely disagree with.
Not sometimes, most of the time.
Most of the time. But you're able to give subscribers so much more factual information.
Yes.
And it's just,
well, and if you're a huge Louisiana Tech fan, like, this is incredible. Like, you can truly begin to understand the game within the game. Why is Coach Holtz throwing out Jamar for 16 starts? Why is he not giving, you know, Weston Elliott or Aaron Allen more of an opportunity to win the job? Why is Israel Tucker and Jaquizz Dancy splitting carries in the backfield? Why is O'Shea Dugas moved from left guard to left tackle? You know, why is Amik Robertson and Lajarius Sneed the only two cornerbacks that see the playing field?
Right, and even just the information that you got, when you got it, we were already, like, seeing trends that coaches have been doing. We don't even think they have this information, but it's
it's
confirming what they're picking.
Like, yeah, and might I add, like, this access to this website is not accessible to anyone.
Tabes can't subscribe to it.
No, you cannot subscribe to this as an individual fan. This was an exclusive deal that Rivals worked out with the college, with Pro Football Focus and PFF College, which is Pro Football Focus College, to provide to their subscribers, in which will be a game changer for our market.
And
now,
this is Chris Collinsworth.
Chris Collinsworth. You might have heard him on NFL and NBC. He's a horrible color commentator, but hey, he founded this website, and you're not finding this in-depth knowledge anywhere else. Collinsworth's son also plays in the NBA, so that's pretty cool too, in case you're wondering. But if you go back to the Southern game, and listen, you say that it was Southern, and I understand it was Southern, but you are graded on the accuracy of your throws. You're graded on the time in the game. If it was 21-0 and Jamar hits a wide-open Adrian Hardy streaking down the sideline, he's not getting a great grade. That wasn't a crucial throw.
Right.
He's getting one of those zeros, neither negative nor positive. So when you look at some of the grades from Tech's win, overall, Jamar graded out overall at a 90.8. This goes back to you saying you can get an overall grade than what you graded right in other categories. From a passing standpoint, he had a 90.2.
Real quick, give him the scale, like what?
Okay, so if I hold on one sec. Before I mention this, let me look this up just so I don't have any inaccuracy. I know this is great live radio, but
no, I think 90 to 100 was Pro Bowler, which were all common.
Yeah, this is what I found on a tweet. I believe it was from 2015, and they did it for the NFL scale. So, you know, it's a little skewed, but 90 to 100, like you mentioned, was a Pro Bowler. 90 to 100 was elite.
Elite, yeah.
Okay, 85 to 89 is a Pro Bowler. In this case, an All Conference performer. 70 to 84 is a starter. 60 to 69 is a backup. 0 to 59 means that player is replaceable.
Get off the field.
Simple enough.
Yep.
So looking at Saturday night, Jamar Smith had an overall grade of 90.8. He was 90.2 from a passing standpoint, 68.6 from a rushing standpoint. Jaquizz Dancy, we talked about how well did Jaquizz Dancy play. To the naked eye, he was phenomenal. His overall grade was a 71.8. He was 64.1 in the receiving. You might say, well, how does a receiver get graded on every play? Well, he gets rated from a pass route running standpoint. That stuff matters.
Right.
He gets graded if he's open. Does he pick up the blocks well, you know, when he's protecting the quarterback? So he was a 64.1. He was a 76.1 from a rushing standpoint. Looking at the receivers, we'll run through these real quick before we get to our next timeout. But overall, Smoke Harris was Tech's best receiver with a 90.
He was 2 for 2 with 2 touchdowns. Yeah. 2 tutties.
Yeah, that'll get to that. Rasheed Bonnet, 82.2. Adrian Hardy, 74.7. Cody Rusty was the highest graded offensive lineman with a 70.6. Looking at the defensive line, Charles Adeola, I think he saw 8 snaps in the game. 79.3. Pro Football Focus breaks it all down. How many snaps did a guy face? How did he do against the run? How did he do from a pass rushing standpoint? Davon Washington was the highest grade linebacker of the 79.3. Ephraim Kitchen, returning from an injury for Tech. We know how talented Ephraim Kitchen is when he can stay healthy. 75.2. He saw 11 snaps in the game. So, all in all, this brings me to my point. If you've ever thought about subscribing to BleedTechBlue.com, I know it's my website. Of course I'm going to try to sell it for you. But there has never been a time where we have been able to deliver more information to our subscribers and allow them to have more knowledge heading into a game. We're not only breaking down Tech players. We're breaking down, you know, South Alabama, Southern. We'll break down LSU. I have a story coming out later this week on, you know, what LSU looks like from an offensive and defensive standpoint. I know LSU looks like a phenomenal team defensively. Well, let's see how they fare, you know, according to Pro Football Focus. It's just so intriguing, all the things. We break down the special teams, how Tech covers kick, how Tech returns kick, how accurate is the kicker on his field goal. It's not just does it go through the uprights. Is it down the center? Is it with plenty of leg? It's all evaluated at Pro Football Focus. We're able to bring that to our subscribers so you can join us. BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. Trust me, you won't regret it. It's some incredible content. But I was glad we had an opportunity to share this segment tonight. I just felt like it was certainly worthy. But anyways, we're going to take our first time out, or our last time out, actually. Unfortunately, last segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio coming up on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Get on the Express at Fairway Carts. The new EasyGo Express electric hunting vehicle is coming soon, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats four and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The EasyGo Express electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
Hey, DQ fans, with the new flavors every month, the iconic Blizzard treat is hard to top. That's why Dairy Queen is bringing you the combo of the century, the new $4 Burger and Blizzard deal. Enjoy a world-famous mini Blizzard treat plus an entree, like the new KC Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, all for just, wait for it, $4. Holy cheeseburgers, it's sweet meat savory in the all-new $4 Burger and Blizzard deal, only at your DQ at participating locations. This is fan food, not fast food.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud LaTeX supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We wrap it up. Louisiana Tech, 54-17 victors over Southern this past week. In case you didn't have an opportunity to watch the game or listen to the game, or catch the opening two segments of Bleed Tech Blue Radio, the Dogs were a winner. They head into their week three bye week before facing off with LSU on September 22nd. Beck, are you going to that game still?
I'm going, BC.
Good to hear.
You going?
No, I'm not going to make it down there, unfortunately.
I'll rep Bleed Tech Blue.
If I was being honest with you, I don't really like to fight the crowd.
Okay, I was listening to our good friend Colin the other morning, and yeah, he was talking about, that's like an epidemic, apparently. within sports is that a lot of fans are saying, I'd rather not fight the crowds and just watch from my patio with my 60-inch TV.
I would love to go down there for the game. I would love to, you know, take it all in. I've been to Tiger Stadium a couple of times to watch Tech, and I don't know.
You got some responsibilities at home.
I do have some responsibilities. Got another baby on the way, but I don't have anything bad to say about LSU fans. It's kind of like one guy can mess it up for them all.
Oh.
And that's kind of how I feel about it. You know, there's – and I know there's fans like that everywhere. I'll see it the next weekend.
There seems to be a few more
down south. And when we go to when I go to North Texas in a couple weeks, like, people will harass me, and you know me, I'll bark back.
Yeah, you will.
Because I ain't –
because you a dog.
Yeah, because I bark and I bite. But anyways, last week we talked about this a little bit earlier. Tech played Southern 54-17. I asked you the question. Did you have the opportunity to hear what Southern's coach said about
it? I did not, so I'm anxious.
Post-game press conference, and I wasn't there. I was doing the post-game call-in show.
Your own post-game press conference, if you will.
Yeah. Southern's coach had the nerve to say, I thought that that Tech team was better than us, but I didn't think they were 54-17.
Probably because they watched the South Alabama game.
Well, probably because he was wrong. And... you know, we can have the argument all day. Is it good that Tech ran up the score and scored with 6 seconds?
Okay, well, you made the comment. You texted me, literally said, Skip was mad.
Yeah.
That Aaron Allen, our third-string quarterback, which we got to talk about that.
He cleared that up in the postgame.
What did he say?
He just said that in that situation, you know, he probably shouldn't have called a pass, but...
What do you think? Was he going to do, drop it on purpose?
No, Skip said he
called a pass, not caught a pass. Okay.
Yeah. So... He cleared it up. But,
I mean, here's the deal. He's mad, but he ain't that mad. You know what I'm saying?
And I ain't that mad either.
He's mad because, it looks bad. But
if you're a coach and you're going to say you're not 54-7, that other team's not 54-17 better than you, then do something about it.
Right.
Like,
and you know how hard it is to win on the road, Ben.
Only 13 teams in week one.
All right. Let me ask you.
I was glad Tech piled on. I love a pile on.
I mean, you work hard all week to execute. Let the boys execute.
You think Kenneth Dixon didn't want to score at the end to make the
Ravens couldn't help but
47?
Score.
Exactly.
He couldn't help it. All right, let's talk about this. It's my one average fan question of the week. All right.
Let's hear it.
I
don't have a Blue Tech Blue Radio random fact of the week, by the way.
Oh boy. I got one. Ooh, right. I got one.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it. Okay, so I had people ask me, Beck, and I'm like, what? And they said, why didn't Weston Elliott play? I thought he was the backup.
Oh, that's a
good
one.
Good question. I got a really good answer for that. Number one, because I know Weston. Number two, because it makes sense. It's just right there in front of you. Weston is the same age, junior. He's a junior.
Same classification.
Same classification. That's the word I'm looking for, is Jamar. Now, with the new rules, the new red shirt rules, last year is you play a snap, you gone. Can't red shirt. This year, you can play in up to four games and still redshirt that year. So Skip knows what he's doing. Jamar's already redshirted. So potentially, if Weston doesn't play in five games this year,
He's a redshirt,
and he has another year after Jamar's eligibility is up. So the coach isn't going to burn it on Southern. They're going to wait. Now, if Jamar goes down at LSU or any other game we play this year.
And Skip made this very clear where you're
Weston's
going,
going in.
Yeah.
Weston's going to play. He's the backup. He's earned that. We're not just totally benching him all year.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron Allen, that's a perfect situation for him to come in. Southern can't stop nothing.
No, they couldn't even stop their band from playing.
Right. You couldn't, don't even get me started. That's a great band, but, man, they were.
They drove me insane.
They played insane.
During the game.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Have some
respect.
Is
this the NBA?
Have some respect.
So, anyways, that's why Weston Elliott didn't play. Weston wasn't mad. No, it made total sense. He wants a shot, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
Jamar just played the best game of his career.
Right.
Jamar's going to be all comfort.
You saying
so.
Weston may not have wanted to go in to follow that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough act to follow, if I'm being honest myself.
Right. Aaron Allen, true freshman. He made a great throw, maybe a stupid throw, but it ended up being a great throw through two defenders right to Smoke. Smoke made a great catch.
Six
seconds left to go in the game. Some people were like, what?
What's your question? Did you answer it yourself?
Yeah, why didn't Weston play?
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Yeah, and Skip's just balancing.
Because I had people be like, I thought Weston was backup. What happened to Weston?
Yeah, he is.
He is. He's totally the backup. That's just why he didn't play.
You just have to work the system a little bit. And that was also the reason you look at some younger freshmen like a B.J. Williamson or, you know, a guy like him or Xavier Lodge, some of those younger players that you expect to get in a blowout. And that's the reason they didn't play. And let me make this clear as well. Skip's not putting these freshmen on the field just because they can play in four games. They've been told, you earn your way on the field if you want to play.
Right.
You're not just playing because, like you said, it's Southern. No, you earn your way onto the field, you'll get an opportunity. And
I think that's the right way to do it. I agree.
So,
all right, what is it? Is Jamar the – why is this on our notes? Is Jamar the GOAT? What? I'm just looking at our notes right now. And that's,
yeah, he is.
We're just going to skip over that one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just wondering if you would see that.
What are you going to do on the bye week, Ben?
On the bye week.
There's a lot of good games this weekend.
There is a lot of good games, and I'm not sure I'll see many of them.
You're going to be at the beach.
Yep. Headed to the beach.
BC is going to the beach. Don't worry. Bleed Tech Blue's going with him.
Yep.
He'll be on that phone. He'll be on the board.
Plenty of content coming for you Thursday and Friday. Like I said, we're going to preview LSU a little bit on Friday. I know Nathan Ruppel, one of our staff writers, had a really good piece out today about LSU's offensive secret weapon. Little inside info, he's not so secret, one of the highest rated recruits that the Tigers signed in 2018. But, yeah, I'm going to the beach this week. Should be a fun time to get away during the bye week before we grind it out for the next 11 weeks because the Dogs are going to play for a conference championship.
Players are not pumped about having a week three bye week,
I was about
by the
to
way.
Say, I meant to mention that. Like,
I mean, some teams have got to get the shaft every year. But
Tech gets it every year.
Every year, you're saying?
They get either the week three bye week or the week 11 bye week. Did I say Conference USA was the worst conference in the country? So are the Conference USA officials. Judy McLeod, can we get some help in Ruston to where we don't have an early season bye week or a late season bye week? Can Louisiana Tech catch a break with the conference schedule for once? For crying out loud? Give me a break. Golly. That irritates the fire. For the last 5 years, they put Tech and Western Kentucky in week three. Oh, conveniently, 2018, bye week. Well, that's really inconvenient.
Before LSU. It would have been nice if it was after.
Yeah, or could have used a bye week in week seven when we got some bumps and bruises. But they're like, oh, we'll throw it in week 11 so you can have it late in the season. Well, that doesn't do anybody good. The season's practically over. Conference USA officials... Plus Charlotte, Old Dominion, Rice. I'll throw Southern Miss in there. I'll throw UTSA in there. I'll throw them all in there except for the top four. Completely incompetent. And it's really set my – I can't believe you got me started on the officials.
I didn't know
that
was a hot-button issue. I'm going to be honest. All right, here's my random fact. It has nothing to do with Tech.
All right.
So in my preparation for you to say that Conference USA was the worst conference – I apologize. In my preparation for it was Southern. Mm-hmm. That my argument of like, yeah, Jamar had a great game, but it was Southern.
Yeah.
I looked up, now this is from 2016, so just give me a break, okay? But Tulane played Southern. You remember this game in 2016? 66-21, Tulane won. You want to know the most, guess how many two quarterbacks played for Tulane?
All right.
Guess how many completed passes they had?
Not one, because they run the option.
Well, they had two for 7 yards.
Well,
passes for 7 yards and still scored 66.
Like
points.
I said, Southern has a good pass defense.
Southern is terrible.
Southern has a good pass defense. Anyways,
that's my
great record. Show this week. We'll be back next week with a full preview. Louisiana Tech, LSU. We'll have somebody on from LSU's rival site, maybe Jarrett Roser, friend of the program. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a big week. We were worried about not this past week, but we were, you know, bye weeks. Like, what are we going to talk about? Boy, we didn't even get to half the stuff on our notes.
Yeah. A lot to talk about next week. So, for our Hall of Fame producer, John Tabor, for Beck Haynes, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.